ready for the interview. And if you get a cue live on a laptop, watch what I'm gonna do. Welcome to the show, let them know we got a point of view. Hey, yo, let's have a combo. Say what you feel, be real, that's the motto. Real talk, pronto, Dr. D, PhD, hit an intro. Hold up, wait, gotta be social. Network global, a home for the locals. Gotta be social, network global, a home for the locals. Okay, we are here with Amy Edwards. Amy, you look great. You look amazing. Thank you for being on.
That's always a good start. Go ahead and lay some compliments on me.
You want more?
Good to go. Always. Oh, more, please. Always. You look great, too. It's very nice to meet you sort of in real life. So thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to have a conversation with you and see what develops.
I'm excited, too. You know, I never go into these with like all these ideas of what's going to happen. You know, like life, you meet people. And you see what develops, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, so many times you can make the mistake of putting your expectations into it, you know? And like, it takes away from the beauty of the moment. That can detract from what's really, I don't know if I should say supposed to happen, but what's really available to us when we don't allow just to flow in the moment. I mean, at least I've been getting a lot of lessons about that in my own life and just dropping what we expect and allowing whatever is to come.
So where have you got those lessons from as of recent?
I'm getting them all the time. Recently, it's funny. I'm turning 50 this year. So,
Whoa, you look amazing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I do a lot to try to keep myself up, you know, but also, you know, I adopt an attitude of always learning. And I think that helps us retain a youthfulness if people are willing to embrace that. It's just like what we were talking about before you turned record on. It's when people don't embrace like change or what's happening, you know, it can hold us back and keep us in the past. And that can show like just in how we present ourselves in the world, I think. So I'm just constantly trying to learn and grow. And so right now I've just been surprised with what I've learned about myself, about my own patterns, about relationships. My partner was in active addiction and I didn't really know that in the last year. And so he went to rehab. And when he went to rehab, it was a chance for me to look within myself and see, okay, what's my role in this? What's and not in a blame myself way, but in a true reflection type of way. And so that has totally surprised me, but it's been really, really good for me and really a chance to sit in emotions and not cope. And I've discovered that I cope in certain ways. We all do. And certain ways that aren't healthy for me. But a lot of my coping strategies too come from my own podcast and come from using my voice and getting really vulnerable and helping other people with that, or in hopes that I help other people, just like you do with these conversations. And so that has been a really beautiful thing to understand that it's called sublimation. And so to understand that I sublimate as a coping mechanism, as a healthy coping mechanism. And so I'm always learning a lot. And even just this weekend, I experienced some anger that I thought I was through with the whole situation, with things that had happened, with blaming myself, with all of it. And I had a big flare up of anger and I was laying there in the middle of the night and I woke up and I couldn't get back to sleep. And I was like, all right, I got to reach for my tools. I got a journal. I got to sit with this. But I was just kind of surprised too, just in general, like, oh, here it is again. I thought I was done with this, but healing all our emotions, everything we go through, it's not a linear path. And anytime we do things, we can see it. I could have looked at that and said, well, I've, can we cuss on the show? I fucked up. I failed at, you know, dealing with it. I failed at like trying to heal it or whatever. Like I was going to check the box, but instead it's not a linear progression and it's not that way with anything. And it was just a moment, you know, where I could sit with it and go, oh, here's this again. I know this. Yeah. I know what to do. I can let it sit, move through my body and I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
So those are some big lessons.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty big lessons. Let's kind of rewind it a little bit here. And talk about your podcast and helping you and you're an on-air personality. Let's go backwards and kind of the origin of this story, this portion of your life. How did you get into this?
I think I've had like four or five lives already. So.
Me too. I'm telling you, it's like lifetimes within lifetimes. You know,
it really is. And I think that's really cool, frankly. Like people who think they can't reinvent themselves, here, you and I are here to say, yeah, yes, you can.
Of course you can.
100%. So I have done radio and voice work. I've always been kind of a radio nerd. And I, you know, grew up in the 80s listening to Casey Kasem and like American Top 40 and stuff like that. And so MTV VJs. And so I was always into that. And I worked in radio when I was in college. I didn't study radio, but I did work in radio when I got, I studied philosophy and religion, and then got out and took a job at a radio station here in Austin, where I still live. And I liked radio, but I didn't pursue it because I saw what it was like for a lot of big time radio people. And I was like, I don't know if I want that life. So I did some other things, but it was always my true love. And in about 2010, I had some friends that were starting a band, sort of. They were just learning instruments. So it was like women in their late 30s. And they were like, let's learn instruments. And so they asked me to join and to play guitar. And I was like, I don't play guitar. And they were like, we don't care. And so I stepped in and we, you know, we just banged it out. And it was really fun. And I really enjoyed using my voice again. And it surprised me. And that band broke up, but I was like, well, I've been doing this for a few years now. So I started writing some songs and I ended up writing some albums, playing out, you know, having an independent artist rock career and career, I guess you could call it that. It was something I did make albums. And I had two small children at the time. So it wasn't something that I could really pursue going on tour, but I still knew that it was just part of my life and using my voice that I really felt called to. It pushed me out of my comfort zone in a good way. And so as I was doing that, someone approached me and said, hey, we're starting a podcast studio. We need some beta testers. We think you'd be good. And I was like, okay. So I just jumped in 2013 or 14, I think it was. And I started my first podcast, which was called The Real Show with Amy Edwards. And at the same time, out of the blue came a radio job. And they were like, we're starting a new station here. We need somebody middays. And I was like, okay. And so I just started using my voice in those ways. And as my music career kind of just lagged a little bit and I, you know, was moving in other directions, I took on more of the radio work. And now I still work at a radio station here in Austin for the Austin American Statesman. It's a streaming station for Austin 360 and do middays there. And I love it. I just love using my voice. And podcasting, though, I think is my true love. And I know it is, actually. I shouldn't say I think. And it's just a really such a cool format for someone like me who likes to get into deeper issues and have meaningful conversations and talk about things that can better our lives. And I did my first podcast for a few years. And once that beta testing phase ended, I was having to pay the studio and I wasn't making money at it. So that kind of faded out and I started something on my own. I learned to edit myself. I learned to produce it all myself, which wasn't hard for me. I've worked in sound and radio for so long. So I did that and started a new one at Austin 360 called Rocking Life with Amy. And because Rocking Life, because, you know.
I know, I get it.
you get it. And so anyway, so I did that for about a year and a half, but I was still producing and editing and doing things myself. And I was like, I don't want to keep doing that. I want to partner with a podcast network. I want to really make a living at this. I really want to go next level and I'm ready. Because I think a lot of times doing it yourself and understanding a lot of the ins and outs of it can really benefit you. Because if you're a podcaster and you get stuck and need something edited and don't have anybody, you know, in a pinch, you can do it yourself. And so I just started to manifest that. And I was still working on that other show, but I was like, nah, this is what I really, really want. I got very directional with it one day and sat with it. And I was like, this is my life's purpose. I feel like these puzzle pieces fit together. And that is the direction for me. And literally the next day I was sitting next to this girl. I got invited to just go to my friend's Airstream to have a little happy hour, sitting next to her. And it was right outside the Statesman too, where we work. And she turns out, I said, well, what do you do? We just hit it off. And she said, oh, I'm content director for a new podcast network that's opening. And we're officing renting space here at the Statesman for a little while. And I was like, you're kidding me. Like, can I pitch to you? And she said, well, yeah, we're looking for women, strong women who, you know, have a background in music maybe. And I was like,
man,
what? And so, you know, things, I think when we get really directional and feel our purpose and it flows and feels easy, and because I think you have to, if you're loving what you do, it can feel easy and then it can just start to flow. And so that's where this show came from. And it took me a while to step into using my name too. And I think that was just part of my own worthiness journey. And, you know, the time was right now. And so I started the Amy Edwards Show and launched that about a year ago. I'm not sure when this is going to come out, but it was January of 2021 when it's launched. So I am 54 episodes in now, and I am just very excited to watch it grow. So that has been my whole mission, is just to use my voice to help other people elevate theirs, the whole world elevate their voice. Thanks.
I feel a very similar vibe between us with that. Yeah. By the way, this will be out next week. I okay, turn it cool. around very quickly.
Great.
I definitely identify with your journey with this. I think giving other people a voice, that's what I like to get educated by other people and what they're doing.
Yeah, me too. You know, there's so much big to thing. Learn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's so much out there to learn.
And well, you've been doing this a long time.
Oh,
you
my
have
gosh.
A lot of episodes now.
416.
Blown away.
Now,
I mean,
I want to do what you're doing. I want to partner with like a network and, you know, make it like, you know, I have other businesses, but I'd love to make this like an actual business for me too. We might have to talk off air about that.
Yeah, for sure. And you clearly love it. I mean, you're showing up for it consistently, and that says volumes. So hats off to you, because
thank you.
I know how hard it is. Like, to really
I do everything like you, like I know how to do every single aspect of it. You know, I think it's good to know the ins and outs of anything you do. You may not do it forever, but to know how to actually do all the mechanics related to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do too. And I think there's probably good and bad aspects to that, but I think in something like this, for sure, it can be an important aspect. And plus you're going to relate to people that you're working with or that are working for you a lot better. You know, I'm able to speak of whatever's going on in the podcasting. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit how your radio work, your voice work, has influenced your work with the podcast. How did it assist you in starting that up?
I think, you know, we have a saying in radio, save it for the radio. Like, and so really, I mean, like from the moment you and I started talking, I thought we were recording. Like, I'm ready to go anytime. And I think it's just, the beauty happens in the spur of the moment. People that want to have a long conversation to prepare for the podcast, I'm like, I don't do that. We're going to
do it either.
Yeah. I love that you did it. I love that you did it.
I don't
need
that.
This is great. And so, so I think you get really quicker on your feet. And I've been wanting to take an improv class. Have you ever taken an improv class?
I haven't, but it sounds interesting, because I feel like that's what I do here. I don't like to know a lot about people. I just want to get on and learn and just be quick, you know?
Me too. And I think there's those types that do like a ton of prep and all that. That's their thing. That's cool.
Sure.
But someone like us, we want to have the conversation in real time, learn and have our eyes open and our mind blown in the moment. Right.
Yes.
And that's how I function too. And I think radio, like a radio background, really feeds that kind of thing, because you're just on the fly moving forward at all times. And yes, you do some prep. Yes, you look into your guests and that kind of thing. But I mean, like, I can prep for something 15 minutes in advance and feel really ready. And, you know, you come off professional still, and you're able to hold a good conversation and ask really probing questions. But I think, see if you agree with me, I think it boils down to really what we're talking about in the beginning. And that's like living more in the moment and listening, really listening. Yes. And improv is about that too. They say taking improv classes can improve your entire life across the board, like business, everything. And so I've been wanting to do that. That's kind of on my list for the year, because I really believe that it just gives you that yes and perspective, and you just keep it going, and you're just listening and you're tuned into the moment, and you're not somewhere else in your head forming like, oh shit, well, I better get to this question. You know, like, you may not get to that question.
Yeah. I never even, like, I don't know what that's like.
Good for you.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's like, soon as I'm very like, most things in my life, I'm very like, I'm very organized. I'm very, but this was like the one area I wanted to have none of that, except for like showing up on time, doing all that stuff. But like when I get on, it's just like, as soon as you came on, I was like, Amy, how's it going? You know, I'm like, you got to set the scene. You got to bring the energy. You know, the worst is like, if a guest comes and there's nothing there, it's like, okay, you got to bring your best self to this, man. Like every time, what are we doing? Like, let's get excited about this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was too in my head at the beginning of my podcasting career. You know, I was still kind of nervous about like, how are these long form interviews going to work or conversations, you know? And I was nervous about it in a way that I realized when I started this show, I was like, I realized I was worried about doing it wrong, as if there is a wrong way, which there's not. And I realized that I wasn't intentional enough. And I was going into it. Yes, you can go in like this, but I needed to just set an intention of like being here, you know, and being really present and listening and flowing and letting go of expectations and letting go of judgments and allowing the beautiful process to unfold. And so I've been able to just take a minute for myself rather than making a lot of notes before we tune in or anything. I even did it here. I keep like a little Palo Santo around. I do it in my podcast studio now. And I just lit this like when I lit it before we started, actually, before I tuned into Zoom. And I just sat, you know, I'm like, my intention was just to use it. I didn't really have a big intention with you today. I was like, just to use my voice. It felt, I could feel your energy already.
Yeah, of course.
Like going to be fun and relaxed and just a sharing. Yeah. So I think that it's been an interesting journey for me to just get a lot more tuned into my own intention and just what you want to bring to the world and what you want to bring to the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you always, well, maybe, you know, what is your intention with each person that comes on? And maybe it's free flowing, but like, what is your intention for how the outcome of each episode for them?
Usually just to do my best to lift their voice. I keep it pretty simple and to lift their message. And I'll have people fill something out, you know, it's real short, but I'll just say like in one sentence, what's your message? And so really, and mine is to use my voice. I had a vision right before I got directional and met that girl from the network and woman from the network. And I just had a vision of me using my voice and all these other people's, they had wings on their throat and they're like, all their voices were rising around the world. And I was like, well, that's pretty ambitious, but yes, I'm in, you know, to just be able to use mine to keep elevating and just have it reverberate out. And like, I feel really, really lucky to get to sit in front of a mic as much as I do and talk to wonderful people like you. And
awesome.
And learn and share and have this shelf life that's like, who knows how long, right? I mean, look at you. You've got hundreds of episodes.
I never thought it would be this many. Honestly,
I know, right?
Just like doing it, like anything in my life, I'm just like, well, you just have to keep going. If you're into it, you just do it. And you have a system and a schedule. And you just do it, you know, for that. But I wonder for you, what's been the hardest part of transitioning? I know you do radio stuff, but the transition from radio to podcasting, or the biggest difference you see?
Transition from radio to podcasting has been great. I haven't had a big issue with that. It felt really natural to me. And so I have liked that. I'm trying to think if there were any challenges around it. I guess, you know, being your own producer and stuff, but I did a lot of that in radio too, you know, setting up interviews and figuring things out. So, and the technical aspects, there's so many similarities to it. And I think that, I've always been a radio DJ. So it was like, you know, music based format. Yeah. And so I've never done a talk radio show. So I would guess that this is fairly similar. And so that part of it has been really nice, you know, not having to operate around any constraints around that. I think making money at it is challenging. And so that's, you know, one of my big goals with this show is to actually have it provide a sustainable income for me. That's, I mean, that's the dream, right? To make a living off of what you really love to do. So, not that I really made a living off radio. I mean, unless you're like, you know, really Bobby Bones or something,
sure.
You know, but he's got a banging podcast now too. So, you know, so yeah, I would say that's a challenge because you're more selling yourself, you know, you're more selling, this and the conversations and what you're bringing with it rather than the whole station, rather than those hours, that kind of thing. It's just a different animal.
Yeah. I think this challenging thing for majority of podcasters, mm-hmm. or if they're aspiring towards that.
Yeah. You just have to, I hear a lot about Rogan, you know, and I know he went mm-hmm. for quite a while, just banging him out until he really broke out with his sponsors and, you know, obviously to the record breaking deals that he's had now. So, you know, it just takes time, just like you're doing. Like, it just takes putting one foot in front of the other and keeping going. If you love it, if you don't love it, find something else. Maybe something else calls to you, you know, like, just don't force it. It's that not forcing energy.
It's the not forcing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like motherhood has affected your work as an on-air personality voice artist?
I think it affects it for the better. I am able to look at it from a bigger picture, stepping back perspective and say, what am I showing my children? You know, and I have two daughters. They're now 12 and 16. And so being a parent informs that a lot. Not only am I constantly learning a lot about everything, because you know, they're teenagers right now, and but I'm just able to say, all right, you know, are they going to look back, what are they going to see me showing them as being a strong woman, as using my voice? And they have very strong voices, and I'm sure that all that I do is a part of that, because I didn't grow up with a strong voice, and I think that's a big reason why I do what I do. I've actually just gotten through to this in therapy, and I was like, I was the youngest. I was cute, you know, and I just wasn't really listened to or taken seriously and by my family. And I mean, they loved me, but it was different. And I was female, you know? So I think that not being heard pushed me into wanting to be heard on a bigger scale. So I think there's this underlying thing. So both of my children now are able to see me using my voice in a sublimation way, in a really positive way. And they are outspoken and they are not afraid to speak up about anything. And I think that that's so great. I think that kids in general are more able to do that nowadays.
Yes.
And that's so great. Like, I just, you know, if anything were to happen to them, I feel like they would speak up about it. And
yeah.
And I hope so. I just hope it has a positive effect in that regard. And I'm able to look at it that way. And I hope so. And as far as what I do, I think it gives a good perspective, just a life perspective. Are you a parent?
I am. I have a 10-year-old daughter.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
It's a great age. I definitely know.
Yeah, you definitely know. I mean, like, it's sometimes when people talk about certain things, you can be like, yeah, talk to me after you have a kid, you know, like, you know, you're a little bit like, and I'm not saying you feel superior, but you're like, oh, my life experience, things
it's a little
change.
Different. Yeah.
Yes. It's a little different. It just makes you see life a little differently. So I am really grateful for that. Just for that perspective. It feeds into everything I do. I know
most definitely.
But I try not to define myself by just being a mom. Like, we are, as women, especially, I know you are into women's voices, mm-hmm. and women are well-rounded. You know, we've got all the rest of us to ourselves. And I am really big on speaking up about that and to my children, you know, especially about things like sexuality. And I'm like, oh, no, we talk about that.
Of
like,
course.
That is part of who we are as humans. And especially as women, you know, neglecting that is dangerous.
I think it's very dangerous. And, you know, I am a huge proponent of women's voices. I was raised by a very strong woman and a very strong father. And I just think, not just my thoughts, but statistically, society gets better when women are empowered.
Oh, and I love putting that.
They just are. And you can look at any country statistically that does this, the society automatically gets better when we educate women, we lift them up, underrepresented populations, minorities, anything like that. So I never get any resistance to that stuff because it's not just an opinion. You know, there's actual evidence for this. There's a good quote, I think it's from Socrates. It's like, opinion is the wilderness between knowledge and ignorance.
You know, I love that.
It's a great quote, but
it is,
you know, there's some of my opinion about it, but there's also a lot of evidence that women are amazing and we create a better foundation for women and we push them forward. Life just gets better.
It
Don't
really
you want
does.
A better life?
Don't we? Yes.
I mean, seriously. So I mean, in all these episodes I've had, I would say mainly women I interview. It's not like I try completely. It was just, I just am more interested in talking to women, a little more, there's a bit of different engagement. Guys are great too. I have great conversations with guys, but I feel like I tend to move more towards that. And so
well, thank you.
I like to promote, women's issues and things, you know, Women's Month coming in March and all that. And I'm a big proponent of that. So when I get to talk to someone like you, who's using her voice and chatting with people, I want to do that. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
And
that's so well said. I mean, yes, of course, as a woman, I agree, you know,
right.
Yes. I mean, I'm all for it. And especially, you know, as parents of daughters.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And it's also in my, this may be a little controversial, but I think
I love controversy.
We can't expect women and underrepresented populations to just be their own flag bearer all the time. Like men have to be a flag bearer for women and help propel women forward. So I feel that responsibility and I tried to do that as part of it, you know?
I think that's so beautiful and valuable. I've somehow wandered onto that side of TikTok a little bit too now, and I've found a lot of men that are doing that and it's so cool. And I'm just so like there for it. And they're like, we don't, not like men, we're just really lifting up women. And I'm like, fabulous. Yes. More please.
So do you get an opportunity to speak to a lot of women on your show?
I do. I speak to a ton of women. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This week I'm with two dominatrixes.
I love that. That's great. Okay. I'm not saying like I do it, but I'm saying I love that. If I did, it was fine. I'm just saying like, I love that you're talking to women who are doing this.
Yeah. Oh, they're fantastic. And what we talked about is aligned with this show. They are so intelligent, so smart. One of them has a master's and one has a certification in somatic healing that she spent years on. And what we talked about was talking in the bedroom. Like they don't call it dirty talk. They call it something else. I'll have to remember. But the idea is that the stronger you get in your voice there and in your own sexuality and communicating and expressing that, the more you are confident in the world about your own voice and strengthening that in all ways, which is so wild and cool to think about because a lot of us can talk other ways, but not that way, myself included. And so it's a whole learning process to think, oh, we can get stronger just by, you know, developing this aspect of ourselves. So it was a very interesting conversation.
I love that. I've had several like dominatrix folks and BDSM, all that stuff. And this is crazy, but at one point we got into this conversation about water sports. And I was like, what's water? And she was water sports. And I was like, oh yeah. I wasn't thinking about that. I'm thinking about skiing, you know, water skiing.
Yeah, right.
whole nother thing, you know, like it wasn't embarrassing to me. It was just like, oh, okay, something new that I, you know, I just, it may not be my thing, but I was just like, I don't care. I'm going to have the conversation about it. You know, like, who cares? You know, like it's no big deal. And I love women's stories from all angles of the spectrum of what it means to be a woman working in the world, working at home, doing different things that maybe people define as being controversial, risque. They're all part of the story. You know,
it's all storytelling. They absolutely are. It sure is. It's all storytelling. That's all it is. And so what's your story? What you have been through in your exact circumstances makes you unique and your story completely unique. So if someone listening to this thinks, I don't know if my story is any good. I don't know if it has any value. Well, it does. And it is. And I'm here to tell you, because your circumstances led you to exactly this moment. They're exactly yours. There's nobody else in history that's had exactly what you've had.
Right.
So you are just unique in that regard. So go ahead and tell your story, because it's going to have value.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. I want to know, tell me about your best performance so far as a host, like where you felt like you were on, like everything was clicking. What's your best performance?
Nailed it. Where I left it, I was like, nailed it.
Oh, yes.
I had one recently. What was it? Oh, I'm going to have to reflect back through my through my podcast list.
I know, right?
Let me take a look really quick. Yeah, because I know that there was something I did not too long ago. And I was like, oh, hit it out of the park. Sometimes you just leave that conversation and you're like, I nailed it. You know,
yeah.
I got out of that exactly what I needed to have. And there was one that I did around Thanksgiving, and that's one that just came up. And so this is my most recently. And it was with a friend who had been in prison for a few years, and she works with an organization called Truth Be Told here in Austin, or they're in Texas. And they rehabilitate and help women who have been in prison. They help them while they're still in the prison system, and then when they get out. And so it's an amazing organization, really changes lives and lifts these voices of powerful women who have been incarcerated and are able to live super fulfilling lives and make a difference. And so she was incarcerated for drunk driving. She was in an accident and hurt someone. And so her telling her story was one of my most powerful, and it just flowed in a way that, I felt like had so much meaning behind it. And I felt so good after that. I know I left that one and I just couldn't stop talking about it to friends and people. I was like, you've got to listen to this one. So if that interests anyone listening to this, I would encourage you to listen to it, because she talked about rebuilding trust within herself and how we can do that. And I was in a phase of rebuilding my own trust too. And so it was just really, really powerful, because really I looked at her and thought, there but for the grace of God goes me, because I drank and drove many times when I was younger, which I hate to admit, but it's true. And so, you know, getting really honest with yourself and saying that could have been me is a tough place to stand in sometimes, but it's worth it, because then you hear that story again, you hear that storytelling, and it makes such a difference.
It does.
Such a difference. Yeah.
What did you do though? Like, what specifically about your performance did you like the most? Like, was it the questions? Was it how you presented yourself? We're getting into the nuts and bolts here. Like, because I believe podcasting is performance art on some level too, and whether you're video or speaking, what was it about you during that made it really
well? Good? That's interesting for you to say that, because like my first inclination was like performance, like no, it's not performance, you know. But I mean, you are right, you know. And like, I do try to work to forget that the mic's there and try to just have the conversation, you know. And so not be in a performance mode, but yeah, it's still your performance, because it's a job. How are you performing on your job?
Right.
And so And your whatever your undertaking is, how are you performing, you know, at whatever it is you're doing as a parent, you know? And so thinking of it in that way is interesting. I think that I was able to approach it with a lot of grace. And I think, like we were talking about, when you go in without a real specific agenda, and I knew that she was nervous to tell her story, because it was one of the first times that she'd done it. Mm-hmm. And so I think I just stayed on task with what I knew we wanted to accomplish and talk about, which was telling her story. But I was able to have threads that ran off that we talked about different things, but bring it right back. And I think that's just a product of training and doing it so many times. And I was able to realign it with her story and bring it right back. And we were able to continue through her story in a linear fashion. And it just flowed in a way that felt really right. And so I just, when we ended, it just felt natural and felt really positive and good. Like it was just putting something really good out into the world. But performance wise, I think keeping your brain focused is a product of training. And like you have in these podcasts, you know, you're a really good question asker.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's impressive. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I can learn from this, you know, when I'm doing it, because I'm not usually on this side of the mic.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so I think it's just, you know, you're going to perform better anytime that you're well-trained. And so I think truly I get better with every single episode and I'm able to stay more in the moment, stay more present, focus on what I'm asking, listen, let it flow. And so those are just little keys. And the more you do it, the better you get.
No doubt about it. I approach right? it just like my, I've been in the fitness business for 21 years and it's all, each episode is a repetition to me.
Yeah.
It's another mile
it's a,
that
it's
I've
a muscle.
It's a muscle. I'm just becoming more efficient each and every time. I don't think mm-hmm. about whether I'm going to ask a good question. I just trust my instincts that it's going to come to me.
That's the good shit right there.
That is.
It really, really is. You just said it right there. You just trust that you are. That's right. Yeah. And it's completely true. And it's a repetition. I say it's a practice, you know, and the more I do in life, the more I realize everything is a practice.
Everything.
Like, yes. Everything, every single thing. And so parenting, like name it, whatever it is, it's a practice. And so just let it be a practice. You can't fail when it's just a practice, you know, like you're just going in there and getting better really.
Yeah.
Because even if you suck at it, you're still learning and you're getting better.
So let's flip it around now. Mm-hmm. Tell me about maybe an episode that you struggled. Yeah, like bombing's a part of it, or struggling, mm-hmm. like where you were like, I just didn't have it today. You know,
I've been fortunate on this show, this incarnation of my podcast, to not have like that pulling teeth kind of feeling, you know, mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, yes is your answer. You know?
Yes, come on, more.
Yes,
give me more.
Yes, give me more. So, luckily, I do think that, again, with that practice and exercising that muscle, you're just going to get stronger and you're able to deal with those situations more adeptly, right? When you have somebody who is just seeming a little closed off, you're able to read the situation and navigate that a lot more easily. When I do something that's outside my comfort zone now, because this is a lot more my comfort zone now, but when I do something that's outside of it, so yesterday I decided last week, I was like, I need to be on Facebook more. I've been off Facebook and exploring these other platforms. So I was like, I'm going to work on my Facebook page, the Amy Edwards Show page. And I was like, I'm going to do a live every Monday at noon. And I'm going to connect with community and talk and see if any obstacles are coming up and just start our week shinier. That is the goal. And so that was, I don't think I did real well yesterday. I did it yesterday. And really, I have a little planner here, my full focus planner. And I love to write things down. And so it's just all about habit tracking and all that. And in yesterday's, the quote, there's a quote every day. It's from Michael Hyatt. And he created the Habit Tracker and I think, or James Clear did. And Michael Hyatt has a book on habits. He said, what single brave decision do you need to make today? And I was like, I wrote to show up. And I was like, right. Yeah. I just need to show up for this live, because I was kind of dreading it, kind of nervous. And of course, then the whole computer Facebook page live didn't even work at all. It was super complicated. I couldn't get it to work. So I was like, well, shit. So I used my phone.
Right.
I got through it. A few people tuned in. So that was good. But I was sweating a bit and I lost my train of thought a couple times.
Yeah.
I was like, it was not my finest hour, but I started exercising that muscle. I started the rep, like you would say, mm-hmm. like, and maybe my form wasn't perfect. That's okay. It's okay. You know what? You're going to get better. And so I was like, next week, it's going to be better. I'll let more people know. I will show up a little bit more easily. And so that's good. You become more natural, more relaxed in the moment.
I love that. I feel like someone like yourself, like you're a seasoned radio professional and you're doing podcasts, there could be a sense of like, this is Amy Edwards. She is used to this. And how could she have a difficult time in any of these things? You know, it's just perception. But I find that when I get on these things with people and you disarm people and you learn the deeper version of them, everybody's very similar. They're just very similar. And everybody struggles. Everybody has triumphs in certain things. And everybody slips up.
What do you struggle with? What are you struggling with right now?
I feel like for me, I'm struggling with, I have all these things that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I kept it to all these things, three things that I really enjoy doing. And I struggle sometimes with wanting to do more when I'm already doing more mm-hmm. as it is. So my desire is to desire what I want, what I already have, not to desire what I want.
Ooh.
You know, it's just like, hey, I want to desire the things I have, not the things I want.
Ugh. That's a mastery level thing, I think, you know, to get to that point.
Well, you know, I mean, stick with me.
Now I'm laying on the compliment.
I got more quotes and stuff, you know, you know, I think that's always a struggle. I'm an opportunity person. I love mm-hmm. opportunity, but learning to say no to opportunities is good.
It's saying, and it's just that reframe too of saying it's when you say no to those things, you're saying yes to the things that are already in your life that yes. you're already building. You're saying yes to yourself in a lot of other ways.
Yeah, most definitely. So mm-hmm. I think I learned that about everybody, and I like being vulnerable myself. Like I don't mind sharing about myself and the things I'm going through. You know, I think that's important. Like the relatability between people.
I do too, because break it down and really just tell the truth and you'll be surprised. I mean, I've gotten to new levels of truth by doing this show. And that's that is the biggest value that's come out of it is for me just to speak my truth. And so like when my partner went to rehab, just because this was just recent, he hadn't gone yet. And I was frustrated because he hadn't gone yet. I was mad.
Yeah.
And he was ready to leave. And he was like, it's been set till tomorrow. Now I have another day here. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I was exhausted. I was tired. I was mad. I was full of emotions and so ready for him to go. So I could just be with myself and not have it all about him. And so anyway, I was scheduled to do a solo cast the next day. And I was like, well, do you want to come on the show and just have a frank conversation about this? And he was like, okay. And so we did. And the response we got from that was amazing because so many people were like, no one talks about this.
Right.
Because we were able to approach it where we weren't in an angry space of calling each other names.
Yeah.
And things like that. So, it was just a deeper anger. And so yeah. I was able to say, I'm so angry at you. And we were, and it was just a really interesting, really vulnerable look where he was admitting that he was going back to rehab because it was his second time that he was going back to rehab and that I was going to, you know, be glad he was gone. And I was going to deal with all these repercussions and the lies and everything else. And so we were able to talk about what active addiction was like for both parties. And it was really weird and hard, but really, really good and vulnerable. Powerful. It is. And it pushed me, it's all pushed me to be more honest, like the dominatrixes that we're on.
Of course.
They pushed me this episode to tell a sex fantasy on my show. Great. And I was like, oh my God, I can barely even say that out loud in the bathroom by myself. And so I did. And I have not listened back to that. I'm kind of nervous about that. But they said I did great. So anyway, though, you know, like it pushes me. I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. If you're going to do it, whatever it is, do it.
Do it.
Be honest, be vulnerable. Model what you want in the world. And especially as parents too, I think this is really an interesting takeaway. I'm just going to side note this, but we want our kids to be honest with us. So fucking step up and be honest.
Step
with them.
Up. Exactly.
And step up. And it is not easy because I see, you know, my oldest daughter's dad he's one of these that's like, you know, do as I say, not as I did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's a teenager, you know? And so I tell her the truth about the things I've done and the things I do. And I just believe if the deeper issue is if we want honest communication, then you better show up from an honest communication standpoint, period.
Period.
So if you expect your kid to be honest with you, don't be lying about how much you drank in high school. Don't do it. You know?
Yeah.
anyway, so many times we wonder, why am I not getting what I want here? Well, how are you showing up? Are you really showing up totally honest? And most if the definitely. Answer is no, then just reevaluate that, because you can't have full integrity unless you're fully honest. And so this is pushing me just into this honest direction. And now Justin and I, my partner and I, now we're in this honesty path where we are like unbridled honesty.
I love
and I've never had a
love
relationship like that. And it is refreshing, hard, interesting, amazing. It's really, really cool. I highly recommend it to anyone.
Oh yeah. I've been married for almost 18 years.
Oh,
it's been awesome the whole time. And I think it's been
incredible.
Awesome because we're extremely honest with each other.
That's it.
That's it, man. You just got to put it. I remember when I met my wife, I said, listen, these are all the bad things about me. And these are all this is like my past. Here's some things that I wasn't proud of. And it wasn't good. I said, this is it. Take it or leave it, man. You know, I was like, I just threw it all on the table in the beginning. I didn't want this like slow glacier of finding out this stuff over time. I was like, this is what it is. I treat my podcast the same way. You know, when I get on, I talk to people and they'll say something. I did psychedelics. I like a couple months ago, I was in the forest and stuff. And they're like, you're telling? I was like, who cares?
Yes,
I was
who
like,
cares?
It's my life. If I want to tell you about that, it's fine. I didn't hurt anybody. I was doing stuff like, whatever.
I think a lot of people still get stuck in that, like, my parents are alive, they're going to hear it and judge me.
So
or
what?
If my kid hears it, what? Yes.
Yeah.
So what? Let them hear it, right?
Let it rip, man. You know,
let it rip.
It's not hurting people. I'm not hurting people. I'm not like, it's not like I admitted to doing some crazy criminal activity. It was like, it's not that. It's just like, hey, these are the things I like, this and that. You want to talk about this? Let's talk about it. You know, it's.
Yeah. But even if you did do a crazy criminal activity, go ahead and get honest about that too.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like it will set you free. You will feel free ultimately, you know, and I think that's really cool. How are you handling that with your daughter?
Same thing. Way? I'm just very honest with her about, you know, these are the things I like, I don't like. Like it could sound off-putting maybe a little bit. It's like I'm not a big play parent. I'm not like big into playing with my child. I know that sounds terrible on some level, but honestly, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I've told my daughter that. And she actually understood. She's like, no, it's, I get it. You know, she's like, it's okay. You know, and like I took her to the playground yesterday and she's like, I'll just play by myself here. It's really dark and, you know, windy and rainy here in Washington State. So it's like, she still wanted to go. She's like, you're going to stay in the car. I was like, yes, I don't want to go out there. I'm sorry. She's like, oh no, it's fine. But we have this understanding.
Yeah. That but you've been honest.
I've been honest. I'm not going to lie about it.
No. And you've probably created a relationship and a way for her to feel really safe speaking however she feels.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
Right. I'm not going to get out there and start playing and doing stuff and it feels fake, you know, and I'm not into it. That's even worse, I think.
It kind of is, because then you're somewhere else. You're just not present.
You know, like.
And kids can pick up on that in a heartbeat. And then you're not being honest.
Not being honest.
My wife
likes to read the placards at every museum we've ever been to, like painfully read every single thing. And I was like, you know what? I just kind of want to skim and move on and see like on visual. And it just got, I was like, you know what? You go and I'll go do something else. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to like fake being here. I'm like, just because I'm sorry, you know, like,
and that's what makes it work, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You're able to have your own interests and come back together. And that's really cool. Well, it's a whole new experience for me. I'm divorced twice. And so I have had to recognize my own patterns, you know, and say, oh, okay, I've been operating from this space that's clearly not healthy. And how can I change that? And how can I approach that? And what was I not honest about? Which was lots of things. Which I didn't think I was, but you know, then you really look at yourself and you're like, okay, I see.
Yeah
I was.
Wow, that's great. I mean, this is as good as I thought it was going to be on some, woo-hoo! Like, or even better.
Me too. It's better. I didn't have expectations except just to show up and have a great conversation. Yeah. And it far exceeded that.
That's great. Yeah. I just I'm like, oh, it's probably everything. Every conversation I have is generally pretty good. So I'm like, oh, it'll probably be pretty good, you know? And
it's
just
this,
really good.
Called?
It's like, it's like really, really good. Like,
yay!
You know why? Because you brought good energy and you're excited. And obviously you're used to doing this, you know, it helps.
But the energy that you bring, you know, if we're wrapping up and stuff, I want to say that like the energy that you bring really matters. And so What are you doing to cultivate that? And by cultivate that, I mean just getting still and quiet and letting yourself be honest. Those are, it can be very simple. Totally we agree. Make it so much more complicated.
Like everything.
Yeah, we overcomplicate it. So just take a breath, you know, and show up, be honest. Like that challenge that I had on the Facebook Live, I was honest about it. I was like, while I was in it, you know, I was able to say, oh, you know, I'm just challenged with technology right now, and I'm just showing up and I'm excited to start this and we'll see what happens. You know, you just show up as your best that you can do at the moment and you learn.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Well, mm-hmm. I've definitely learned from you. It's nice to talk to someone like yourself. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm really grateful to be here and have this conversation and make your acquaintance. So
yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Every time I do this, I meet someone new. And that's how so great awesome. Is that, right? You get to meet new people.
Yes, it's really, really incredible. That's one of the best things because you really get to connect with people too. Yes. And like so often we're meeting somebody, but we're not able to connect in this way. And it's just, that's one of the best things about podcasting, isn't it?
Yes, like it is.
Now we forever have this connection.
That's
it's
exactly
so cool.
Right. It's a definite connection through podcasting. So you can always refer back to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, give everybody the roll call. Where can we find Amy Edwards?
Yeah. Well, my show is my number one. It's called The Amy Edwards Show, and it is available on all platforms, including YouTube, if you care about video. And otherwise, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Omni, you know, anywhere that you get podcasts. And you can find me at amyedwards.com. You can email me, amy@amyedwards.com, or you can reach me on Instagram @RealAmyEdwards, Facebook, The Amy Edwards Show. And I am on TikTok. I am the magic babe where I don't do anything podcast related. I just talk about meditation habits and up-leveling our lives, which is my whole mission. So, so I guess it is aligned with it, but just stuff I enjoy. So yeah, I would love to connect with anyone that's listening to this. Please reach out and let me know what you thought of it and check out my show too. I would say the most recent episode with the dominatrixes is if that triggers you at all and makes you go like, oh, God, no, then for sure.
Yes,
listen.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So thank God I didn't know beforehand that I was going to have to tell a sex fantasy. So, so really a dope interview there. So anyway,
that's awesome.
I'm really grateful for this meeting and conversation. Thank you so much.
Same here, ladies and gentlemen, Amy Edwards. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.